Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Advances by homosexual activists are taking place around the world. Recently, a pro-family activist was invited to speak at a pro-life dinner in Canada. Pro-homosexual advocates and their allies were not pleased and tried to persuade the Saskatchewan Pro-Life Association to uninvite their speaker, whom they deemed as hateful and a bigot. They failed, and my guest today is that individual. Peter LaBarbera is the president of Americans for Truth about Homosexuality, and he's going to tell us about his, adventures in Canada those few days. Thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Diane. Great to be on again.
I'm glad you made it back to the country so you can be on again. concerned there when, but let's start at the beginning. Let's start, you are a one-issue organization, Americans for Truth is. Just give us a rundown as to what you do, what your mission is.
Yeah, our mission at Americans for Truth is to, basically give information that is not reported much about the homosexual activist issue. The media are very pro-homosexual, so we're on the other side of the radical pro-gay lobby, which would include transgenderism and bisexuality. So we're giving information on the other side of the issue.
Okay, we definitely see the big push. I mean, I believe homosexual activists think that they have won the battle, and now they switch their, not that I agree with that, and I know you don't agree with that, but now we see the big push for the normalization of transgenderism and those who are sexually confused. That's unfortunately the big push now.
Yeah, but in fact, the leading homosexual group, the Human Rights Campaign, has now started a campaign to transgenderize the military, which would include taxpayers paying for so-called sex reassignment surgeries, those awful body disfiguring sex change operations for transgenders.
So they want us to pay for it if they can get the ban lifted on transgenders in the military.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's fantastic. So you were,
that's what you want to be doing.
I would rather keep my taxpayer dollars and let them do that, but there's a law against that. So you were invited to speak at this pro-life dinner prior to your arrival. I mean, what did you know going into Canada as far as what was taking place behind, well, not so much behind the scenes, but in the media and such?
Yeah, what happened was I was invited to speak at this pro-life association, and I was going to talk about how the homosexual agenda parallels in many ways the pro-life fight, you know, many similar things. In fact, pro-homosexual activists and gay activists themselves often defended abortuaries, these abortion mills, you know, back in the earlier years of abortion on demand, post Roe v. Wade. And even to this day, Human Rights Campaign, which is a homosexual activist group, often puts pro-abortion votes in its congressional scorecard. Mm-hmm. So all these left-wing social groups are working together, pornography, homosexuality and abortion, and fornication, of course, sex beyond marriage. All these causes are united, and I wanted to encourage pro-lifers that they need to step up on the marriage issue.
Right.
Well, a local group in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, the small town where this conference was going to be held, decided that I was hateful and that they didn't want me as a speaker and I didn't belong at this pro-life event. So they started crusading for me to get dropped by the Saskatchewan Pro-Life Association. Then from there, they went, when that didn't work, they started lobbying the government to turn me away at the border, Diane, because the government of Canada, first of all, there's no First Amendment.
Right.
Secondly, they passed a law, a hate speech law, which bans so-called hate propaganda directed at identifiable groups of people, including homosexuals, you know, based on sexual orientation.
Right, okay.
So this is the next step beyond traditional gay rights laws, if I could use that phrase, which sounds kind of funny, traditional gay rights laws, but sexual orientation laws. This is actually dealing with speech. So when I got to the airport, I knew, you know, I had seen that this uproar was happening. I said, you know, something's going to happen, so I was prepared a little bit. And then, of course, when we went through customs, everybody went through fine, and then it was my turn, and they started asking the questions.
Mm.
And
everyone standing in back of you is mad at you.
No, I was the last one.
Oh, you were the last one? Okay.
I think I was smart enough to get towards the back of the line. But what was funny was Bill Watcott, who is this probably the most controversial pro-life family activist in Canada, was waiting for me in the car outside, and he ended up waiting 3 hours until I got done.
Oh, my goodness.
So what happened was they started asking questions, and then the questions got more and more intrusive, such as, you know, what percentage of your talk is going to be about homosexuality versus abortion. Now, that was interesting to me because they don't care about pro-life speech, just the anti-homosexual speech, as they regard it.
Yeah.
Then they searched through all my luggage. They took me to a separate room. They started searching through all my luggage. They searched my cell phone. They started going through pictures and messages on my cell phone. They took my laptop, and they were searching that. They searched through all these books. I had a bunch of gay books, pro and con on the issue, gay-related books. So that was kind of almost, sometimes it was comical. You know, these border guards were searching through, and at one point they found this PowerPoint presentation. I think they must have been told to look for PowerPoints because they kept thinking it was mine.
Okay.
I said, no, that's not my PowerPoint. I hadn't written a PowerPoint for this speech.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, on and on it went. Then they took me back to the other room. This is about 2 hours into the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, the guard told me that I was denied entry into Canada, and he showed me the hate propaganda law. He actually gave me a copy of the text of the hate propaganda law, which is astonishing to me. Then it took another hour to write up the paperwork, and at that point I was given the paperwork, and I was given the choice to either appeal or, I guess, go back on the next flight.
Yeah,
and I elected to appeal, and then we thought we were going to have to make the case again, you know, and we were all prepared the next day, Bill Watcott and I. And he had in the meantime, the attorney had spoken to one of the border guards, the customs agents, and he basically said, look, Canada also protects religious freedom, and you have to allow this speaker on the basis of religious freedom.
Yeah.
And so the next day, evidently what happened was when we got there, it was already a done deal and we were approved. And so I think what happened, I later learned, was that some conservative MPs, members of parliament, had brought pressure to bear to say, hey, don't block this guy, let him into the country.
But that'd definitely be a black eye because, you know, we're down here in the U.S. and we're looking at what's taking place, you know, with you. You're going to Canada to give a speech and they're detaining you. They're telling you they're going to kick you out of the country. They're not going to allow you to step foot on Canadian soil. And, you know, we're down here scratching our heads like, what has happened in Canada? But yet, as you're saying, they passed this hate propaganda law, which includes sexual orientation. And I think probably here in the U.S., the only thing protecting us here is our First Amendment when it comes to the...
Yeah, and now we're seeing that crumble. I mean,
that's the
shocking thing because, as I was saying after, and we can go through the rest, you know, when I got actually arrested in Canada, but, you know, we have First Amendment, they don't. But look what's happened. I mean, the Hugenin's case, the photography case in New Mexico is stunning because these were just a couple of Christian photographers who said, we don't want to take pictures. We don't want to honor, as it were, a homosexual wedding, as it was called, civil union ceremony with our business, our resources, our labors. We can't do that. We're Christians. And they have been rejected. They lost their case all the way up to the New Mexico Supreme Court, where one of the judges said, the price of citizenship is for you to do business with people you disagree
with.
Anyone. And so that means, and then the U.S. Supreme Court did not hear the case, elected not to take it. So right now in New Mexico, every small business would be forced to use their business at a homosexual so-called wedding ceremony or risk getting sued.
And that's one thing, you know, people here in Pennsylvania need to realize that that's exactly what HB or SB 300 would do here in Pennsylvania if they were to pass. And which I must say that in December, Governor Corbett announced his support for those bills. And that's exactly what's going to happen in Pennsylvania if they are
passed. Now, is that the end of the bill, Dan?
Yes. And it affects...
These are discriminatory bills.
Absolutely.
They sell it in the name of, oh, we have to stop discrimination.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet the very same bills have been used to promote anti-Christian discrimination discrimination against people of faith and with moral judgments opposed to homosexuality and same-sex marriage, so-called. These laws have been used to undermine and to override their freedom of conscience. And, you know, we've seen this for years. It's not a mystery. And it happened in Canada. Now it's happening in the U.S.
Yeah.
The Boy Scouts were sued, prosecuted all the way up. They had to go to the U.S. Supreme Court not to have homosexual scoutmasters, and that originated in a New Jersey sexual orientation law of the sort you're seeing now in Pennsylvania. So it's like if the media reported this more fairly, I think these bills would be much easier to stop. Because
I agree.
Evident now that they're discriminatory bills.
Yeah, but they won't do that because they're on the side of the homosexual activists who are pushing these bills. And it's frightening that Governor Corbett is now supporting these bills. And these bills, if they become law, they affect any business with four or more employees, including religious schools or organizations that have obtained any type of government grant. They would also be impacted by this law. So it's very, very dangerous, you know, just the idea of this. But, you know, Canada has already been there and done that. And we here in Pennsylvania are on the verge of doing that, too, unless we have some Republicans stand strong against it. But anyway, back up north. So you have been at the airport.
I got in.
3 hours. So you got in. You were released into custody to Bill. They handed you over to Bill, basically, and said, you keep an eye on this guy overnight.
overnight, right.
And then when you went back the next day, pretty much pressure had been put on the locals there, and you were allowed entry into the country. So,
yeah, and I gave my speech, and it was well-received.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened at the speech? I mean, you know, this has all been there have been days and days and days of rapport where homosexual activists are trying to keep you out of the country. They fail at doing that, and you are able to make this speech. What happens leading up, you know, actually during the speech and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I knew that there were some people there who were against me, including some pro-lifers, and I found that very sad, that there were some pro-lifers, I would say probably the younger people more, who don't understand that these issues are all interwoven.
Yeah,
you can't say, I'm going to defend this part of, you know, God's justice. You know, I'm going to save babies, but I'm also in favor of gay marriage. That doesn't work from a Christian perspective. I suppose if you do not want to adopt Christianity as your framework, you could try to rationalize such things. But, you know, there were some of those. But I was approached by many, many people after my talk, Diane, who said they were happy I was there. It sounded to me like they were happy to hear a teaching against the homosexual activist agenda. I told them what happened at the airport, and it went well. And they actually, this pro-life group allowed the protesters in, which I thought was interesting. So they showed grace to the protesters, and I went up to one of them, the husband of the woman who was leading the campaign against me, and I said, you know, this is the sort of tolerance I support, you know.
Right.
You tried to have me banned, turned away at the border, and he said, well, we didn't do that. I said, well, no, your wife put up a Facebook post urging people to call the public minister, the safety minister, and have him turned away at the border. And so it was kind of an odd group of people because the husband acted like he didn't even know what his wife was doing, but the whole campaign was trying to keep me out, as the left is want to do. You know, speech they disagree with, they want to block, as opposed to letting a fair debate go forward.
Yeah, and one thing you I'm going to throw in here about the partnership between homosexual activists and pro-abortion activists is on March 3rd, a coalition of nearly 50 homosexual activist groups joined Planned Parenthood in releasing a statement supporting the Obamacare contraceptive mandate. Of course, that's the mandate that forces employers to provide full copay free insurance coverage for contraception, sterilization, and abortion-causing drugs to female employees and dependents.
So,
that's a direct, here in this country, that's a direct partnership between those two groups that, you know, I think the average person looking at those two groups and what their public goals are, the average person would think, well, they're not related in any way. But they definitely are, and here's the most recent proof here in this country that the
And also, Diane, Planned Parenthood's radical pro-homosexual agenda, which includes these awful videos that promote sod. I mean, they basically promote homosexual sex acts.
Yeah.
And there's one I can't even describe on the radio that would basically promoted homosexual male oral sodomy. And this is Planned Parenthood, and because, you know, they want to push the envelope on the sexual agenda, sort of making it wide open so that, you know, it's not limited. They don't want sex to be, they don't want to encourage sex just within marriage as we do. They want all sorts of sexual experimentation because ultimately that'll drive more business to Planned Parenthood.
Exactly. Because they want those teenagers and young adults to get pregnant so that they will, in too many cases, get an abortion.
Yeah, and I think there's a wing of the left that wants homosexuality also as a means of limiting the population growth.
Well, that's a good point.
Hey, if we encourage homosexuality, that's another thing that doesn't procreate.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's not something that's brought up very often, but that's very true because there are those zero population people out there who are pushing that, you know, saying that the planet is overburdened with excess population, and what better way to do it than to push the normalization of homosexuality? Wow.
Sure.
So you did the speech, Everything went well, and there was no big pushback from the homosexuals or their allies who attended the dinner itself in your speech.
No, I think they were actually a little bit sheepish, some of them, that they actually tried
once
to ban me. If that's how small Canada is, then it certainly could never be a great nation.
That's true.
If they're so afraid of a single speaker who speaks basically a Christian message, the Judeo-Christian morality. But what we did was I was hanging out with Bill Walker, staying with him.
Uh-huh.
He's the radical pro-life, pro-family activist.
There, okay.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah, he makes me seem moderate. I mean, he's just a great guy,
wow,
too,
great.
So bold.
Yeah.
And he'd already fought the courts on his right to speak, and so he's scheduled speaking appearances, not really speaking, but just kind of a silent sign protest at both the University of Regina and the University of Saskatchewan.
Okay.
So on Monday after the speech, we went to U Regina, and he set up a table with his signs. And immediately, somebody from the school, university, came out and said, "You're not welcome here.
Mm.
You have to leave." And he said, "No, I have a right to be here under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms." And she said, "Well, we will call the police then." 2 hours later, the police came out and they said, "Bill, you've got to go. You're not welcome here. We will arrest you if you don't leave in 10 minutes. He again affirmed his right to be there under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And then 10 minutes later, he was arrested.
Wow.
And then they asked me if I was going to move. And I sort of wanted to stand by my friend Bill Watcott.
Right, right.
So I was also arrested.
Okay, so you guys got to spend some time in jail. So you're on the university campus, have set up a table and providing information about abortion and also pamphlets about LGBT relationships.
I passed out a pamphlet called "Is All Love Equal?" and it had some health facts about homosexuality.
Uh-huh, good.
I mean, it was so innocuous.
Yeah.
And this is also, to me, illustrates just the whole folly of left-wing thought control. I mean, these students, they had their signs. They were against us. They got access to the media. They talked about how wrong we were. And then we had our signs, and that's how a university should be, a debate between opposing views.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, here they are. A lot of the students end up, you know, when I was arrested, there was clapping. Most of the kids clapped. Now, there was a couple who said, "What about free speech?"
Mm.
But most of the kids clapped, and that to me was so sad.
Yeah.
That students and professors even would be applauding to see somebody who's advocating a Christian position on campus being let off in handcuffs and applauding that.
Wow. So they had a counter protest to your all's table then.
Yes.
Okay.
And we engaged the students. I told the students, I don't hate anybody,
right.
Diana.
I
hate anybody either.
Exactly.
I've seen you in action, and all we do is we agree with God's morality.
Yes.
The biblical morality on sex and marriage, and that's all we did. We stood in defense of that, and that's all Bill Watcott does.
Yeah.
And yet the left creates this huge uproar, and how they want to, and the administrator later was quoted in the press, Diane, saying, "We have to protect these students.
From
and this
what?
Is our duty to protect the
from
students."
What? Oh, my goodness. From an open debate about issues that will directly impact them if they embrace them? I mean, to me,
from ideas that it disagrees with, it basically is what they call protection, and that's the heart of the left. See, the left wants to decide for everybody
what they can and cannot
speak and what is appropriate speech, and we're seeing the same thing in the U.S. with the media, GLAAD, the Gay Alliance, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. They call up, you know, if you were to be on a show, they would immediately contact the host and say it was a mainstream TV show, and say, "Do you know that Diane Gramley is a member of a registered hate group?" Well, the producer looks it up. Oh, the Suffolk Poverty Law Center has labeled Diane's group, American Family Association of Pennsylvania, a hate group. Therefore, we can't have her. And this is what happens. It's all about shutting down debate and demonizing their foes.
Yeah. And that is, that is so very, very true, because they are determined that our side not be heard, because if it's a fair debate, everything on both sides is presented, then any fair-minded person would see the dangers of what homosexual activists are pushing. When you look at the health stats, you know, from the CDC, or in the case of abortion, where you see the number of women who, after having an abortion or number of abortions, they are sterile, they can no longer have children, or the ones who are rushed to hospitals who have botched abortions.
Yeah, and, you know, on the gay side, there's, you know, virtually every case of HIV among males ages 13 to 24, 95% of those cases are linked to homosexual sex.
Yeah.
If this were any other behavior, people, the government and corporations would be advocating, you know, teaching against it.
Yeah.
Don't practice this behavior. But instead, the government is celebrating the behavior and teaching in schools that, you know, so-called gay ideology, this is who you are, and basically teaching the normalization of not just homosexuality, but also radical transgender identities.
Yeah. absolutely. It's frightening because it does have, you know, the stats you just gave. They've talked about the dangers of smoking. It's much more dangerous to be involved in, for especially for a male to be involved in homosexual activity. But yet these smoking bans all around the country and the public places here in Pennsylvania, you can't smoke and all that kind of stuff. But yet these same businesses and corporations, as you're saying, promote homosexuality, promote, you know, quote unquote diversity training so that you fully embrace the homosexual, transgender, bisexual lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely. And so I went in Canada. The next step was we went to jail, and Bill Watcott got out in a couple of hours, but because I had the previous trouble with customs, the customs official said, we're going to take over your case, and we're going to probably have another hearing about whether you're allowed in. And he said that I had violated the provision. I signed a piece of paper which said I would not violate any Canadian laws. Well, I told him, I said, we didn't think we were violating any Canadian laws because Bill Watcott had already won the right in a couple of court cases to actually speak freely at these universities.
Right.
And so, but ultimately I said, look, I'm supposed to leave in a couple of days anyway. If I'm just going to be here, you know, in jail or waiting a hearing, I'll just go on. I'd rather just go home.
Right.
So they got me on the next flight. You never saw government bureaucrats getting somebody on a flight quicker than that.
Oh, my goodness. Did they pay for your ticket out of the country?
I think they paid for the changeover. You know, I never really checked that. But I'm quite sure it was free, and usually it's not free. So
that's for sure.
We'll take care of this one, Diane.
Wow. Oh, wow. Just to get you out of the country, you're such a radical...
Well, it's just so silly, and it's so beneath, you know, the dignity of a once great nation like Canada. And I see the U.S., you know, going the same route with this, you know, boy, especially with these cases now where they're basically saying that gay rights trumps our freedom to live out our beliefs, that somehow gay rights ideology, this sexual orientation, non-discrimination thing that we've been seeing, you know, time and time again, somehow that's more important in a country that was founded on religious, you know, freedom, fleeing from religious persecution.
Mm-hmm.
We're now denying people's freedom in the name of so-called non-discrimination.
Well, and a lot of the problem here is that for too many years, the gospel has been watered down in this country, and the church is afraid now of, too many churches are now afraid to address the issues of homosexuality, to address the issue of abortion, and they don't point to what Scripture really says about those issues, and especially homosexuality. It's very clear what Scripture says about homosexuality, homosexual acts.
And that's why I think we need to respond as the people engaged in this, Diane. We have to be more bold than ever.
Yes, absolutely.
And I plan on using America's First Amendment. I mean, we've got that First Amendment.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when I was sitting in there in a jail, and they took everything, they took my glasses, my wedding ring, they had to treat me like other prisoners. And so, you know, there's these suicide risks. And I said, well, can I have a Bible? And they wouldn't even give me a Bible. And I said, well, what's up with the Bible? How is somebody going to kill themselves with a Bible?
How are you going to kill yourself with your eyeglasses? I mean, you know.
I don't know. I guess, you know, you poke your eye out with the eyeglasses. I don't know. But anyways, as I was sitting there, I thought, the one thing I had time to pray and time to think.
Yeah.
Because I was there all night. And basically, it was just in this little concrete cell with a mat and a sink/toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
And no soap, of course.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, you know, we've got the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And this really makes me appreciate the First Amendment.
Right.
Because as troubled as the United States is, you don't see people getting arrested as much for hate propaganda.
True.
It's happening, and speech is being restricted,
right,
but it's not as blatant as Canada. And so we've got to use that First Amendment, and we've got to get out there, and we've got to confront these kids who are essentially brainwashed.
Yeah.
I mean, a typical college kid is pretty much brainwashed on the homosexual issue because they hear is pro-homosexual messaging and sort of whitewashed media treatment of the issue. They never heard, they've never met an ex-gay, they don't even know that ex-gays exist.
Yeah.
These wonderful people who've come out of homosexuality, no clue, but they've been so overexposed to proud homosexuality in their young lives that we need to get out there and reach them with some truth. That's what I came away from this experience thinking.
Yeah, but we have to grab hold of the First Amendment, not take it for granted. And that's exactly what I totally agree with that. It's something we don't...
And make them arrest us. If they want to arrest us or ban us from a college, Diane, well, for goodness sake, let them try. We do have the First Amendment, which they lack in Canada. And I'm also telling my American friends, hey, help your Canadian friends. I mean, Bill Watcott, this guy is... You know, during the whole thing, Bill Watcott went to get some computer work done on his laptop, and the owner for a local computer shop in Weyburn said, I won't serve you. I disagree with your advocacy against homosexuality.
Oh,
and so Bill Blackcott ended up filing a complaint with the Human Rights Agency for being denied service himself.
Oh,
as a Christian.
And that's gonna come to this point. We look at situations like Firefox, Brandon,
yeah,
you know,
Mozilla,
right, and Phil Robertson, where they've been attacked. It's coming to that, as you're saying. It definitely is. How can folks contact you if they want to get more information?
Oh, thank you, Diane. They can sign up for my newsletter at AmericansForTruth.com, and it's written out FOR. And there's also a link, just plug in Legal Defense Fund. They can give to our Legal Defense Fund, because I do have to go back and face trial. The charge was mischief, and it's actually a criminal trial, so I may have to, hopefully it'll get dropped, but I may have to defend myself back in Canada. So we have a Legal Defense Fund. Just plug it in the search engine at AmericansForTruth.com.
Wow. AmericansForTruth.com. And I do encourage folks to do that and to donate to Peter's Defense Fund. It's tragic that it's come to that in Canada, as you're saying. But Peter, I applaud you for your courage, and I appreciate the courage that you show here in the U.S. when you're involved in things here, plus up in Canada. And I know you recently made a more friendly trip to Jamaica a few months ago.
Yeah. So. Well, I think you probably would have got arrested too up there, Diane. So maybe it's good that you didn't come on this one.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, hey, you take care of yourself. And,
okay, God bless, and thanks for all the great work you do, Diane.
Okay, well, thanks, and we'll be praying for you. Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.